Good morning, everyone. I'll just open us up in prayer, and then we will go into the One Lent devotionals. So, Jesus, we just want to thank you for this morning, God. Thank you for being here with us, Lord. We invite your Holy Spirit into this place right now, God. May you come and, take your place in this place. And, be with us as we fellowship with you this early Friday morning, God. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. And let's play the video.
Today we're listening to Luke 11, which contains the Lord's Prayer. In India, in one of the listening groups, there was a little girl who was listening to this section of Scripture. Her mother and her lived on the top in the attic of a very poor house. They didn't have much money. And as she listened to that prayer, she was struck deeply. So she went home, climbed up to the stairs to her mother, knelt beside her mother's bed, and she prayed the Lord's Prayer. And she prayed, Lord, give us our daily bread, because they had no food. And then with great faith as a little child, she went down on the street, began to look. Where would she go? Where was the Lord going to provide her daily bread? And there was the bakery. So she walked over to the bakery, and she was looking at the bread, and the baker asked what she wanted, and she pointed out to two loaves of bread, and he put them in a bag, and she thanked him, grabbed the bag, and went out the door, because this was God's provision. Well, the baker was like, what are you doing? So he grabbed her. What are you doing? He shook her, and she began to cry, and he was like, what are you doing? And she then explained that she had been in their church, she had heard the word of God, and that God had said that she was to pray, and she had prayed for her daily bread, and this is where she thought God had provided it. And even though the baker was a Hindu, God touched him in that moment. He took some other loaves of bread, put them in the bag, gave them to the girl, and she took them home. And so God provided this little girl in her faith and her mother their daily bread. Make sure today, as you're praying, you ask for God to give you what you need, your daily bread. Enjoy the listening to the Word of God.
Okay, now let's turn to our One Lent app, and we will read the passages, and it is Luke 11, verse 1 to 13. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Now let's turn to Acts 13, verses 13 to 52. Now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga and Pamphylia. And John left them and returned to Jerusalem. But they went on to Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia. And on the Sabbath day they went into the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent a message to them saying, brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, say it. So Paul stood up and motioning with his hand said, men of Israel, you who fear God, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt. And with uplifted arm, he led them out of it. And for about 40 years, he put up with them in the wilderness. And after destroying seven nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land as an inheritance. All this took about 450 years. And after that, he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, and for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will. Of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised. Before his coming, John had proclaimed a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, What do you suppose that I am? I am not he. No, but behold, after me one is coming, the sandals of whose feet I am unworthy to untie. Brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to us has been sent the message of this salvation. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not recognize him nor understand the utterances of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled them by condemning him. And though they found in him no guilt worthy of death, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had carried out all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people, and we bring you the good news that what God promised to the fathers. This he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus. As also it is written in the second Psalm, You are my son, today I have begotten you. And as for the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken in this way, I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David. Therefore he says also in another psalm, You will not let your Holy One see corruption. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up did not see corruption. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what is said in the prophets should come about. Look, you scoffers, be astounded and perish, for I am doing a work in your days, a work that you will not believe, even if one tells it to you. As they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them, the next Sabbath, and after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts of Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke up boldly, saying, It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourself unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. The devotion from Lent. In response to the disciples' request for Jesus to teach them how to pray, Jesus recounts a story of the persistent friend who repeatedly seeks help, even though it is night and the door is locked. Jesus tells his disciples that they are to be persistent in prayer. The reason that we can be persistent in prayer is that we pray to our Heavenly Father. He already knows our needs and delights to hear from us. Moreover, he will answer our prayers when we pray in accordance to his will. What an encouragement to persist in seeking our Father's will, and to persist in praying to him in accordance with his will. Let's pray in accordance with the Lent devotional. Father, we pray for those living in indigenous villages. We pray that they are able to maintain their heritage at the same time as feeling fully integrated members of society. We pray for those who specifically minister to this group. Amen. So I just wanted to share a little bit about what I was reflecting on through Luke 11. So this was when Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray. And I really felt like a lot of times, you know, we read this passage and we feel that, oh, you know, God is somewhat like a genie in a bottle. You know, all we got to do is ask and seek and knock and we will be able to find him and, you know, have our prayer request responded to or come alive. But I feel like this whole passage, actually Jesus was, obviously God isn't like that, and we know that, but I feel like Jesus was really trying to get into the heart of our Father. He gave us a skeleton of how to pray. You know, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debtors and all that. So I feel like that is kind of like a skeleton of how we should approach prayer. But immediately he goes into the heart of God. It's almost as if he wants to make sure that we understand what our Father is like, who he is. You know, he goes into comparing a normal friend of ours and to God, what God would do. And here in this example that he gave of a friend knocking, asking for bread, you know, he was impatient. He didn't care about the friend. He was too busy sleeping. He didn't want to get up, you know. And even if he did, it was just because he was just pestering him. And he felt like, oh, just get out of my door. You know, he was rude. He was dismissive. He was quite hard and not very gracious. And then he goes and talk about how Who of you, father, you know, if you ask for a father for a fish, he'll give you a snake. And then he goes again, you know, to tell you, what about an egg? You know, who would give you a scorpion? If you are being evil, you know how to give good gifts, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you? And I really feel like he's really digging into our perception of who God is. When we come before his throne room, when we come before him to seek him for prayer, who is this God? This God who is loving, this God who is approachable, this God who has got all of the good intentions for us, this God in which you can reach him at any time. He will not find you pestering. He will never find you talking too much. This God who is willing and looking forward to answer our prayers. And as we understand this side of God, we come into prayer, we will naturally flow into a mode of praying through his will because we understand his goodness, we understand his love, we understand how he sees us and how through his love towards us, how he loves others as well. And that we will be able to really seek him in this way and that just naturally flowing in understanding his love, we will be able to pray in accordance to his will. And that we don't have to be like, oh God, is this your will? Oh, you know, but I may be making this up and everything. You know, sometimes I go through that and it can be quite tiring. But when I sit back down and I think and I reflect on the nature of God, then I'm like, no, you know, anything good, anything noble, anything loving, anything caring, anything that is for someone's good, anything that glorifies God, that is his will because that is who he is. And in the end, you know, I find that it was quite interesting when Jesus, you know, through the devotion we've read, we end at verse 13. And at the end of verse 13, you know, it said, okay, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I was wondering, oh, I thought this was about prayer. Why? How come we come into giving the Holy Spirit? So this whole thing about teaching us how to pray actually is really linked to asking for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Asking for Holy Spirit, you know, he is the gift that God gives us, but really asking him. So our prayer is supposed to be connected to Holy Spirit. Our prayer is supposed to be also seeking Holy Spirit to be with us, that we may pray with the Holy Spirit. We may pray in accordance to his ushering, in accordance to his help and assistance for us to pray these things. And through the strength of the Holy Spirit, we will be able to have deeper revelation of this love of God, and we will be able to have greater understanding of the skeleton that the Lord had given us, and that we will naturally be able to pray in accordance to His will. That it is not just a, oh, seek, find, and knock, you will get it. You know, it is the prayer that comes before the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, come, teach me how to pray. I dedicate this time to you. I want to pray in accordance to your will. And it is through this fellowship with the Holy Spirit that we really be able to catch the heart of God. And we will be, God will be able to reveal Himself to us and what He wants us to focus on. So I would like to invite Cardia up. And so today I just feel like, you know, sometimes prayers can be something somewhat of a list or something we have to do, or, oh, we better make sure we cover this, you know, just because, you know, that's what I'm supposed to do. But I really hope that, you know, today we can approach prayer as, you know, in a different way and really realign ourselves, you know, into how the Lord had taught us to pray. That we will really receive the gift that the Father has already given us. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So really, let's come to a place right now to ask God, to ask Holy Spirit to come in and lead us and teach us how to pray, that we will be able to realign ourselves and from, you know, be reminded, and from today onward, that we will always be praying with the Holy Spirit and not on our own strength. Yeah, let's do that. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you so much. Yeah, I just felt reminded that, you know, prayer is, it is actually a really sweet fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes, you know, even I feel like I'm guilty of this. You know, sometimes you just pray for the sake of praying. And then you've been persevering for a long time and nothing is changing. And you just feel like, I just have to do this. I just have to push through. And there are times when we need to pray like that. But prayer actually is a sweet fellowship with our God. It is such sweet fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You know, when Pine talked about Holy Spirit being a person, oftentimes we forget to fellowship with Him. Oftentimes we forget that He is God. And, you know, we just call onto Him for anointing, to pray for healing, or, you know, to strength to do things. But it is a sweet fellowship when we come in prayer with Him that we're like, Holy Spirit, what are you talking about? What do you want to say? How do you feel about me? And that's when He will speak to you tenderly. And that's when He will express His love for others. And He will teach you how you can express your love to others as well. So Holy Spirit, we just love you so much. We acknowledge that you are God. We know that you're by our side. And we thank you. Thank you for being here with us. God, thank you for sending your Holy Spirit that we may all have you so close to us that when we talk to you, we can just whisper and you will hear. That's how close you are to us. We praise you and we thank you for this, Lord. Let's take a moment to pray for our community. Let's pray for those that are fighting and battling cancer and those that are going through chemotherapy and surgery. Let's pray for God's complete healing to fall upon every one of them. Let's declare that this church is going to be a cancer-free church. Let's pray that there will be healing not in the physical only, but in their spiritual and in their mind as well. So let's lift them up. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters with family or friends who are in need of salvation and they are going through illnesses. Let's pray that there will be such a kairos moment where they will be able to have this opportunity to hear about the goodness of our Father, about His everlasting love for them, that when they hear this message, it will be personal to them and they will respond, and that through their response, faith is going to rise up, hope is going to rise up, sickness is going to leave them. So let's pray for salvation over our brothers and sisters and their families and friends. Let's pray for those that are in our family that are not feeling well, who are suffering from various different infirmities. Let's pray. pray for healing over them, and let's pray that they will have a perseverance in their heart, that they will continue to contend, that we as a church will continue to contend as well for their complete healing. Let's pray for those that are looking for a job. Let's pray that during this time they will really stay close to the Lord, and that the Lord will open the door for them to enter in a job where they will be able to glorify God. They will be able to make it their ministry, that they will always be reminded that it is God first and not job first. So let's pray that during this time they will be prepared, and that when the door is open, they will be able to walk in confidently, knowing that their God was the one who provided for them. And we'll go into our Friday prayer focus. Let's pray for Japan and Pastor Sophia, and also Cambodia, Grace, Oasis House. Let's lift up these nations and people and our pastors and missionaries. And let's pray for them. Let's pray that they will be strengthened, that every single day they're going to receive a new dosage of God's love and joy and peace and just wisdom and anointing as they meet people that a lot of us will never meet, but that they will make such great impact in their lives and bring God's name onto this nation. Let's lift up our missions council. Let's pray that as they continue to pray and seek the direction for our missions, that we will really be able to partner with the people that the Lord wants us to partner with, that we will be able to see the opportunities and the need and recognize them, those that we need to work with, those that that the Lord has called us to do. Let's pray for wisdom. Let's pray for unity in the Missions Council. Thank you. Let's lift up our local outreach, Agape, Homie, SP Lights, Freedom, Bridge, and Recreation. Let's pray that their heart will be revived, that they will walk out and go into their outreaches with so much joy and a newfound just passion for the Lord. Let's pray for SP Fam and Cadence that's leading this ministry. Let's pray for wisdom. Let's pray for more volunteers. Let's pray for more unity. Let's pray for the church to really rise up for this occasion to love and to accept children that are displaced, children that are unwanted elsewhere. SP will really be able to be a channel of this love, to love on others, love on the children. Let's pray for our Friday evening gatherings. We have GIC, EG, SPU, SP Youth, and IP that are meeting tonight. Let's pray that as they fellowship and as they gather, that they will be able to feel the sweet presence of the Lord, that they will have fun, and that they will encounter the Lord. They will be able to be closer to God. Finally, let's lift up our house churches, Elements, Go, McCain, McDaddy, McRobinson. Let's pray that there will be a great time of fellowship and just really digging deeper into the sermon from last week. Let's pray that it'll be encouraging, it will be challenging, and it will be it will be stimulating as well. Let's pray that we will grow from the sermon and through the house church. Jesus, thank you for this time. Lord, we love you so much, God. And we just want to lift up the rest of this day to you, God. May you continue to fellowship with us as we intentionally set our mind on you, God. Help us to get through this weekend, this day, God. Remind us of your love, your joy, your peace that is upon us, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good day.